We continue our walk through the book of 1 John. Last week, we began this book together looking at basically the first four verses of introduction, where John had given us the theme and focused us in on the book and walking with our Lord and what it means to have fellowship and having all about fellowship being one of the themes of this book and how fellowship with God is possible. Today, we pick up the account, his writing at verse 5, and we'll be reading through the end of the chapter. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. As Paul writing said, "This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." Here's the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word and its truth. We thank you for the Apostle John and his walk with you and him sharing with us under the power of your Spirit what he learned from you, that we can walk with you today as your disciples. So Lord, through your word this morning, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what you have for us, that you're, through the light of your word and the light of your truth, you would shine upon us this morning, that we would hear and see you anew and leave here, Lord, that we equip better to walk in you and to walk in fellowship with you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you in fellowship with God this morning? How do you know? We hope we are. We hope we have that intimate and close relationship and fellowship with God. And we had learned last week as John began this book that part of the theme is he wrote this so that we would know who God is. And in knowing who he is, who Jesus is, that we can have fellowship in that relationship with him. But John was writing to the false teachers, to confront some of the false teachers in his day. And there were false teachers that John was writing that had come into the church who claimed that they were living in fellowship with God, but their claims were false. They were deceived because their life was not backing up the fellowship with God that they claimed. And in these verses, John states that it is possible for us as a person and as a believer, it's possible for us to claim that we have fellowship with God when we really don't. It's possible as well for us to claim we have a relationship with him that we don't have. And it's also possible for us to claim that we are walking in fellowship when we really aren't. And so he's writing to the church to instruct us to know, how do we really know if we're walking in fellowship with God or not? If we're walking in that agreement, in that shared life that we talked about last week, about what that fellowship is, that oneness, that shared unity that we share and living in that perfect union, how do we know? John gives us two tests to know how we can walk in fellowship, two ways that we can walk with God. And if you want to walk with the Lord this morning in fellowship and check your own heart and mine, yours and mine, against the word of God this morning, are we walking in fellowship? The first way we do that, John says, is to live in the light. Notice what he says in verses 5 through 7. He said, "What I'm declaring to you, this message that I'm sharing with you, is not my word. This didn't come from me. It's not my word. I received this from the Lord himself, and I'm passing it on to you, that God is light, and there is no darkness in him. And if we claim to have fellowship with him, but yet walk in darkness or walk in sin, we lie and did not live by the truth. Here, John was refuting the first claim of the false teachers that taught that we can have fellowship with God, but we can live any way we want. We can be in fellowship with God, but we can live in sin. It doesn't matter because we're free in Christ and we have grace and we can live any way we want and we can live in sin and still be in fellowship with God. But what does John say here? If we claim that we're in fellowship with God but walk in darkness, we're deceived. Because we can't, that was what the false teachers were claiming. And John was refuting that here. And why? Because we can't, if we want to walk in darkness, we got to live in the light. Why? Because we are called to reflect his likeness. We are, as believers, as a Christian, we carry his name and we are called to reflect the likeness of our Savior. We're called to reflect his character and who he is. And John describes for us in verse 5 the character of God. He says, God is what? Light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. And for people that claim that we're a believer, we can love God and we can be a Christian, but yet we can live in darkness. God says, we lie. John says, we can't do that. We're not living by the truth. If we claim to be in the fellowship and yet walk in darkness, we lie. Because God is light, and there is no darkness in him. Not any kind of impurity, any kind of darkness at all. God has nothing to, that's not part of his character. And as believers, we are to share in that same character as him. God is light and there is no darkness. Now, I like the movie Star Wars. That's one of my favorite movies. And, you know, they portray there the light side and the dark side. God has no dark side. God is all purity. And in the Christian walk, the word life, the word walk is used to describe our lifestyle and our activity. So when John is saying here, walk in the light, or if we say we have fellowship with him, but yet walk in darkness, that word walk is used to describe our lifestyle, how we live our life, our daily way we walk, our daily way in which we live. That's what the word walk means. Walking implies action, continuity, and progress. When you walk, you're going somewhere. You're making progress. You're not staying in one place. You're going from one place to another. And in Bible times, that was the main way they traveled, was walking. Most people traveled by walking somewhere. But it implies making progress, of heading in a direction. And so walking in the light, or walking, means we're our lifestyle and the way we're living our life. Light reflects what is good, pure, true, holy, and reliable. And when John says, God is light, light is the absence of any kind of darkness. And that means God, our Lord, is absolutely pure, holy, good. There is no imperfection in him whatsoever. That is his nature. That is who our Lord is. He cannot approve of anything that is evil, of darkness, or sin. It's against his character. And so to walk in the light, as John says here, to walk in him, to walk in the light means to live a life of general obedience. It doesn't mean we're not going to stumble and to fall. We're going to talk about that. It doesn't mean we won't fall into sin. But to walk in the light means to walk a life of general obedience. That's our general lifestyle. Not harboring sin. That when we know we're aware of sin in our life, we're going to deal with it, and not resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something we've done wrong, to walk in the light, we realize, yeah, we need to deal with that. And not harbor unforgiveness, not harbor a secret sin in our life, not harbor resentment, not harboring keeping something in or in within us and saying we can still be in fellowship with God. Because we are to reflect his nature. It does not mean, walking in the light does not mean that we are sinless, but it does mean that we will sin less. Get the difference there. And because he's going to talk in the other next claim here about those who claim to be without sin. Walking in the light doesn't mean we're not going to sin, but it means we will sin less than we used to as we seek to become more like Jesus. and to seek to be transformed by him. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." To walk in the light also means to walk where he is. And because he is light, that means we are to walk in his light, in his character, in what he approves of as he directs us in his word, to being with him, walking where he is. 1 John 1:7 says, "Walk in the light as he is in the light." John 8:12, Jesus said, and we sang this verse earlier, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And Isaiah 2:5 says, "Let us walk in the light of his word, the Lord." And Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my pathway." That God has given us his word to show us the light in which to walk. But walking in the light is walking where our Lord is and as he directs us, living in the truth of his word. We also need to live in the light because sin breaks our fellowship. Notice what he says in verse 6. "If we claim to have fellowship with him, but yet we walk in darkness, our life isn't backing up what we claim we say. And we claim we have a relationship with God, but our lifestyle isn't backing that up." Then he says, we live in darkness and we lie and we do not live by the truth. He's later on going to say, our thinking is distorted. We become deceived by the evil one. Sin breaks our fellowship. When we sin, it doesn't mean that we lose our salvation. But it does mean that our fellowship and relationship with God is hurt and impacted. That we're not as close to the Lord as we once were. And sometimes if you feel that God feels distant, and when you go to pray and it seems like, why do I'm not getting through? Why does God seem so distant from me? It's not because he hasn't moved. He hasn't moved. It's because maybe there's something in our heart that we've done that we have that has affected our relationship with God. Think back to whenever your relationship with your spouse or in your family, and whenever you do something that upsets one of your family members and it causes some distance between you until that's resolved. And the relationship can be impacted and the intimacy is not as close as it used to be. And sin can do that. It can affect our relationship with God and our intimacy with him. It also affects our relationship with God and also with one another. Because notice what he says, if we claim to have fellowship with God and do not live in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. Not only does our sin affect our relationship with God, but it affects our relationship with each other too, within families, within the church, within whenever that comes in and it breaks that relationship, it needs to be restored. And if we don't have fellowship, John is saying here, if we don't have fellowship with one another, then that means that either me or the other person is not walking in the light. Because it said, if everybody is walking in the light, we're going to have fellowship. So he said, if you don't have fellowship with someone, it means either you or the person that you're having that difficulty with is not walking in the light and living the way we should in obedience to God. Because he said, if we walk in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And we will have that relationship restored. So sin can break our relationship. We need to live in the light because we are to reflect his likeness and his character. We also need to live in the light because we've been cleansed by his blood and we have been made clean and holy before him. And that is our new nature. And that is who we are to display. And that cleansing has washed us clean and we are to live that way. He said, the blood of Jesus, verse 7, purifies us from all sin. We'll get back to that. We have been cleansed and set free. That word purifies there is the word katharizo, from which we get the word catharsis. You ever heard that word catharsis? It comes from this word. And it means to make clean, to cleanse, or to free from filth. And that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you and me from all the filth within us and all the disgustingness within, and his blood has washed all of that away. Praise God. Isn't that something to rejoice about? He has cleansed us from all of that and wiped it all away, and it's not there anymore. He has made us clean. It's a catharsis from within as he has removed it by the blood of Jesus. It has the power. There's power in the blood to take all of that junk out of our life for good. And because we've been cleansed and because we've been made pure in him, John says we need to live that way because we have been made set free and we're not in darkness anymore. That darkness has been washed out of our life. And so living in the light, reflecting his character and reflecting his likeness. So how do we know we have fellowship with God? Are we walking in light? Are we living? Is our lifestyle demonstrating the light of Christ in and through us? And that word purifies is in the present tense, which means we need to have continual cleansing because we continue to fall in sin. Even though we are walking, we stumble. And just, and you think of a toddler, when a toddler is first learning to walk, you know, and they'll take those couple steps and they'll fall down, but then they get back up and keep walking. And as we're growing in our Christian faith and we're walking that Christian journey and that lifestyle in the light, following the light of Jesus and the light of his word, there's going to be times we're going to stumble. There's times we're going to fall and trip up. And when we do, we need that continual cleansing. And his blood continues to cleanse us. That word purify is in the present tense, meaning it's ongoing. But also because we need that, we need it, we also have it, that his forgiveness is there complete, that we know that he forgives us and those sins are washed away. We don't have to bring them up anymore. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to worry, well, is he going to hold that against me? His blood has the power to wash away and cleanse every sin and stain in our life, no matter how dark it is. He can wash it all away. And that's the good news of the grace of God. So we have fellowship with him. First, live in the light. The second way we know we're walking in fellowship is to confess our sin. In verses 8 through 10, John goes on here to say, if we claim to be without sin, here he's dealing with the second claim. The first claim was that we can be in fellowship with God and live any way we want. We can be in fellowship with God and live in sin. That was the first claim. But here's the second one. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and his truth is not in us. Here, John was dealing with the false claim that claims that we don't sin at all. The first one was that we can walk, we can live in sin if we want and still be in fellowship with God. Here he's saying we can claim we're in fellowship with God because we never sin. And I never sin and I never struggle with sin. I never fall into sin. It's not a problem for me. I'm perfect. That's why I'm in fellowship with God. And he's saying, no, if we claim to be without sin, and claim we're in fellowship because of that, we're deceived. And so we need to confess our sin whenever the Holy Spirit makes it aware of us to us. Because he says if we conceal our sin, we're deceived. He said if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We're not deceiving God. We're not deceiving anybody else. We're deceiving ourselves. And his truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Again in verse 10, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our life. That word deceive means to lead astray from truth or to be led into error. So John is saying, if we claim that we never sin, or sin's not a problem for me, I don't have any struggles in my life, then we're deceived and we're being led into error. And we're being led from the truth. We need to acknowledge the fact that, yes, we do stumble and we do fall. We are deceived because we make God out to be a liar. He said, if we claim that we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And why does that happen? Because God claims that we all are sinners. God claims that it was why Jesus came, to forgive us of our sin. And that sin breaks our relationship with God. And when we claim that we have never sinned, or we're in good, or a good person, then we make God out to be a liar, because he knows who we really are. And his word, his truth, has no place in our life, because God's truth reveals to us the fact of our true nature, of who we really are before him. And the truth of God means nothing to us, and is not in our life, if we claim and try to conceal our sin. But John says, if we confess our sin, and this is the good point, if we confess our sin, we are forgiven. Just as the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, if we confess our sin, we are forgiven of all of our sin, he tells us in verse 9. And so to have fellowship with God, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin, not to cover it over, not to excuse it, not to say it doesn't exist, it's an occasional lapse, but to confess it and know that we will be forgiven, and that relationship and that fellowship is fully restored again. And we have that promise that we will be forgiven because of his word himself. He tells us that here, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sin. That word confess is a compound word, meaning it's made up of two different words put together. And it's two words called homo and lego. The word homo means same, and the word lego means to say. And we use that word confess our sin, but we understand the biblical understanding of what that word means. It's from two words, which means to say, same, to say. So confess literally means to say the same thing. So when we're confessing our sin, it literally means to say the same thing. Putting it this way, to confess our sin is to say the same thing about our sin that God says about it. That not trying to excuse it, not try to brush it off, but to say what God says about our sin, and we agree with him and say, Lord, you're right about this in my life, and I'm dealing with it, and I'm confessing it to you. I agree with you that I have sinned against you, that what you have claimed to be sin, I agree with you that it is. That's confession, making not saying, oh, I'm sorry, but it's agreeing with God that we have offended him, that we have sinned against him, and say the same thing about what he says about us. And it says that we will be forgiven because of his nature, that when we confess, because it says here that he is holy, he is righteous, and he is just. He is faithful. And then he was promised into his word that he will never fail us. And if we confess to him, he is faithful and he is just, and he will do what he promised and said he will do. And we can trust him and know that he will forgive us because of his nature and because of his love. The word forgive means to let go, to dismiss, and to send away. And so when God forgives us our sin, it means like he's sending it away. He's getting rid of it out of our life. He's no longer remembering. He's dismissing it. He doesn't hold us accountable for it anymore. And it's buried under the blood of Jesus. And we don't ever have to worry when we stand before him that he's going to bring it up, because of his promise that when we confess our sins, he will, not may, but he will forgive us of our sins and purify us Take a look at verse 9. Purify us from some of our unrighteousness. Is that what it says? No, it says purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's his promise. I had a Bible college. In Bible college, I had a professor who used to say, all means all, and that's all that all means. We don't have to think deep into it. That's all it means. And it says that if he purifies us from all unrighteousness, that means all of it. It's gone. And it's forgiven. And he casts it away from our life if we confess it and agree with God. Yes, I have sinned against you. If we try to conceal it and try to cover it over, we're deceived. But if we confess it, we are forgiven. And that's the good news. Those that claim they were walking in fellowship with God and said, we can walk in fellowship with God and live in sin, said, no, we got to walk in the light because we got to display his character. Then there were others that said, we can have fellowship with God because I never sin. He said, no, we're deceived because his truth isn't in us because we know that we all have sinned and fallen short against God. But the good news is when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. And he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There was a king who visited a slave ship where there was a slave gallery down beneath, where the men were chained but to the oars, and there was a row, and they would row. Every time they would beat a drum, they would have to row in this chain gang. And another was there, had a lash to make sure that they would row. And they would take the prisoners of the state and put them to use pulling on the oars. And that's what they would do. Well, the king went and visited one of these slave ships. And he went below the deck and he began to talk to those who were chained to the oars. And he asked them, one man, well, sir, why are you here? They're all prisoners, convicted. And the one man said, oh, he said, sir, I don't know why I'm here. I was in a crowd, and when a crime was committed, they arrested everybody, and they got me. I'm innocent, so I'm here because of that. He asked another, sir, well, why are you here? And one man said, oh, sire, noble king, I have enemies who have lied about me, but I'm not really guilty. I'm a victim of false witnesses who have lied about me. And the king went on through and through asking each of them for some reason why he was innocent and why they should not be there. Till he came to one man who said, sire, I'm here because I deserve to be here. I've sinned against my God and I've sinned against my king, and now I'm paying the penalty for my sin. When the king heard that, what do you think he did? He stepped back and he said, well, you rascal and you scum, what are you doing here among so many honest men? Guards, release him and get him out of here and let him go. He acknowledged who he was, his sin. The others tried to excuse it and blamed it on everything else. And they claimed, oh, I didn't do anything. It's not until we admit our sin are we going to know the mercy and the forgiveness of our king. He that claims to be without sin deceives himself. The truth of God is not in him, and we're not walking in the light. But yet if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Because there was a pastor who was serving in the Philippines, and he was a much loved man of God. But he carried the burden of a secret sin that he had committed in his life when he was younger, many, many years before. He had repented of it, but he had no peace and no sense of God's forgiveness for him. In his church, there was a woman who deeply loved God and who had visions in which she spoke with God and God with her. The pastor, however, was somewhat skeptical about that. He didn't think that was quite legit. To see if it was true, he asked her, well, the next time you speak to God, I want you to ask him what sin your pastor committed while he was in seminary. The woman agreed. So a few days later, the pastor saw her and asked, well, did God visit you with a vision? Yes, he did, she said. And he said, did you ask him what sin I committed in seminary? She said, yes, I did. And he said, well, what did he say? He said, tell him, I don't remember. That's how God is. When we confess our sin, he doesn't remember it anymore. And we can accept that forgiveness as we walk in the light. So walking in fellowship with him, living in fellowship with him means living in that light, the light of his word, the light of his truth, his character being reflected in us, seeking to be more like him. And when we do fall, realize that we sin, not to excuse it, but to confess it, restore that relationship and that fellowship with him again, and receive his forgiveness and be cleansed through the power of the blood of Christ. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your truth and your power and your Holy Spirit within us that guide us in the light of your word. And Lord, help us not to be deceived, to think that we can claim to be in fellowship with you and live any way we want, that it doesn't matter because of your grace. No, we are to walk in the light because you are light, and we are to reflect your character. Living, our lifestyle means living in a way that glorifies you, walking in the light of your truth and in the light of your word and who you are. But even as we walk in the light, there's going to be those times that we will fall, that we will trip up. And Lord, in those times, we can't excuse our sin or claim that we haven't sinned. But if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just, and you will restore us again and bring us back into that intimacy of fellowship with you. And so, Lord, in those times when we feel that we don't have that closeness, we need to look within our heart. And is there a sin in our life that we have not yet confessed to you? To receive that forgiveness. And when we do, Lord, help us to accept that forgiveness, to realize that you don't remember it anymore. It's gone. You take it from us forever. And you no longer hold us against it because the blood of your son, Jesus, purifies us, washes away all that filth, and cleanses us from it forever. And thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus to bring us into that relationship with you through faith. So, Lord, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, that we have fellowship with you and one another as your disciples and your followers today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.